Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, a preacher subject I've not heard discussed is the matter of repeating sermons. Have you ever done that?
Well, maybe I'll start a different way, Dean. I would say Jesus repeated sermons, I think, at least from the impression you get out of the gospel. So he maybe is our example as to repeating sermons. Jesus was an itinerant preacher, much like the evangelists that travel from church to church. And I mean, for them to come up with new sermons all the time would be foolish, and they repeat them over and over. In fact, sometimes I think they repeat them and improve on them all the time because they have different elements. They're hearing feedback from congregations and so on. I repeated sermons. I think I was a little bit egotistical during my days because I thought once I've given this sermon, everybody understands totally what I've said. And I began to realize that you can say the same thing in different ways and you have to repeat all the time just because people don't pick it up nearly as fast as you think they should. On the broadcast, I came to the place where I realized it was an illusion to think that everybody listened to the broadcast day after day after day and never missed anything. So obviously, you get people who maybe are hearing one out of five or six programs, and repetition is a good thing. So that was something that I got used to, and I found that when I would repeat something, I didn't have all kinds of people writing in and saying, "You repeated that." It just went on like normal process, you know. So it's just part of life.
Are there extremes for a pastor to avoid?
I think if you repeat too often, that would be an extreme. Now, what is too often? I guess it's hard to come up with some kind of a sliding rule, you know, where you say this seems to be fair. And then I would also say it's an extreme if you never repeat a sermon, because sometimes when you preach a sermon, you realize it's incredibly effective. And to just then put that aside and put it in a file and never use it again, unless you are a visiting preacher somewhere, that would be foolish. I have sermons that my wife would travel to meetings with me and say, "Please don't preach that sermon. I've heard it so many times." But the interesting thing was it was a highly effective sermon. And so I would guess that if I could solve that problem by just not having my wife travel with me. So, but yeah, you can repeat too often, you can repeat not enough. I guess those would be extremes. I would think that the average local pastor, if I would just guesstimate at this, I think they probably don't repeat enough. I think there's a certain aversion, and oh my, everybody's going to know I said that. Now, you can repeat a story and people will remember it. They don't remember the sermons nearly as much if you repeat them. So I would say, you know, if you repeated, 52 weeks a year, say if you had five repeats in the course of the year, that wouldn't be too many. That would be just about right in my mind. I didn't do that many repeats, but I think as I look back, I could have, and people wouldn't have been bothered. In fact, if you preach, say, a very good evangelistic sermon, and almost no one is there who's not a Christian, and then you could say, "I'm going to repeat this again in 3 weeks, or in 3 months, and I want you to think, who needs to hear that sermon? You've heard it now." Mm-hmm. And I think that would be a very effective way to, you know, say, "You know what's coming. This is a sermon. You've given me input. And I would like for you to invite the people you think this would be helpful to."
My parents died back in the 1980s. My father died on December 15th, 1981. My mother died on December 16th, 1985, and it just so happened that the pastor was the same pastor that officiated at both services. Mm-hmm. 4 years later, when my mother died, he preached the very same sermon at her memorial service. And I wondered how often he used that particular funeral sermon, because in a community, a small community like I grew up in, you couldn't do that too many times. But it also occurred to me that maybe if he had kept better records, he might not have done that.
He might have said to himself, "This is an effective sermon." Yeah. And he could have said, "I remember preaching this at your father's funeral. Or somehow diffused it a little bit that way,
But it was a very interesting experience. Another observation has to do with illustration. Some pastors base their illustrations on extraordinarily significant events that have taken place in their lives, and they fall back on those illustrations over and over again. As I think you know, I've been listening a lot over the last 4 years to Joel Osteen, particularly because, unbeknownst to him perhaps, he follows the sermon coach method in developing his sermons.
Yes.
I'm not making a commentary about the content of those sermons, nor about his particular interpretation of theology, but he is an extraordinarily effective communicator.
Yes, I agree.
He has three key events, and he very often will mention one of those key events in a sermon. Those three things constantly finding themselves in sermons could become over time tiresome. It's occurred to me that that's something that you as a pastor would need to be careful of.
It's people will remember the illustrations more than they'll remember the whole sermon. There are stories that are remarkable, and you just need to be careful of it. And in a much lesser way of talking about it, I was a part of a church for a long time, and I had a pastor who continually went back to the same kind of illustrations over and over. And I thought, you need to come up with a new illustration, because at a certain point, he is not nearly as effective a speaker as Joel Osteen is, but you'd say, I think I heard this before, and you don't want people to come to that place. You want them to always be listening. And then if you are repeating, saying, that's good, I kind of enjoy this, but not rolling your eyes and say, I've heard this so many times.
This illustration before. What would be a legitimate reason? We've talked about some cautions, but what would be a legitimate reason for repeating a sermon?
I think pastors have all kinds of interruptions, and one of them you even mentioned before. There are times when ministers have, say, two funeral sermons to preach in a week, and they've just gotten behind, and so they don't have time to get a new sermon ready for Sunday. I think a minister can get sick, and you just don't have the time to put into a new sermon. And if you say, as you probably know, I was sick from Monday through Thursday, and my normal week has been interrupted, and so I'd like to go back and preach a sermon I preached 2 years ago, and I think it's appropriate for today, and people are going to be very accepting of that kind of a situation. I maybe hinted at this before. When you get a lot of people who say to you, that is really helpful, thank you so much, then you kind of make note of that, and you say, that's a sermon I like to repeat sometime. And so it becomes a part of your filing system. I got behind this week, that's a sermon. Or you could even say, this summer, during the summer series, I'd like to repeat a sermon I did last February, and so people know and expect it, and in a very real sense look forward to it, instead of saying, he's run out of material. I think I did say this before. If you say, this sermon I want to repeat again in 6 weeks, and I want you to think, who needs to hear this sermon? And I will try to put maybe a few new wrinkles to it so it won't just be verbatim. But that would be an easy way. I think that you can do also repeats by just changing the sermon around in a way. You use a different introduction, maybe use a different text preaching the same idea. So there are a lot of ways that it could be done. I think one of the ways that I liked was almost as a checkup, to say to people, this is a lesson we learned. We went through this whole book study. Now I'm going to kind of put it all together in one sermon, and it's been 6 months since we worked on this. How are you doing? So it's kind of a checkup thing. So they're just simple ideas, but I don't think it's something that you just rule out. Ministers, I think we have kind of a guilt complex. We think people don't believe we work as hard as we really do. And so any kind of thing that would hint as though we were not doing the work we're supposed to be doing, we are very leery of that and try to avoid that. But repeating sermons is not a bad thing. It can be a very good thing.
In our most recent podcasts, in fact, for the last 19 podcasts, we've been doing a series on the book of Isaiah based on Chapel of the Air broadcasts that you preached more than 30 years ago. And the point of that was to illustrate that the sermon coach method for sermon preparation can be used for every individual sermon, but it can also be used to construct a sermon series. So when we talk about repeating individual sermons, what are your thoughts regarding repeating sermon series?
I remember I had a 10-year pastorate before I went into radio and television, and there was a series I did called The Christian, the Church, and Society. It was basically how we in a city congregation played our role, not only as individuals, as families, as a church, but also to the whole of the surrounding area where we had the church. I preached that early on in the 10 years I was there. And then I found that people who were there referred to it all the time, but the newcomers didn't understand it. And so it was, I would guess, fourth or fifth year, I repeated that series over four Sundays. And then I found that because congregations change all the time, people move, we were in a student area, so it was graduate student, one of the largest medical centers in the world, but there would be people, they would be gone, and then new people would come in, and they didn't have that same background information, so I actually preached it three times. And I never had anything but very positive comments about that. Now, if the series had been like 4 months, I think having done it the third time, people would say, oh man, I think I'll go somewhere else for a while. I've heard this before. But there's no hard or fast rule on such things. But in my mind, that was a series that was very key to who we were, how we thought, how the board operated everything. And it related to the kingdom of God, which was a new topic to many of those people. So the repeating turned out to be a good thing. Basically, we're saying use good sense. Don't assume that it can't be done, but don't assume that, you know, one sermon preached 52 weeks in a row is going to get pretty tiresome. So, yeah, just ask for the Lord to give you wisdom, and also ask for people in the congregation, what are your thoughts? What do you feel about this?
It occurs to me that with the sermon coach method of sermon preparation, where we start with the subject and then ask ourselves, well, how do we want the people to respond, mm-hmm. so that we have a subject response, and then deal with the subject of how to give people ways that they can effectively respond, and then deal with the subject of how long is it going to take before they sense some of this taking place and gripping their lives, and then finally developing a key sentence that sums up the subject and mm-hmm. response. It occurs to me as I think about those elements that a pastor can take what would be the core of a sermon that was really effective and do some things to freshen that. There's ways of taking a document and freshening it or sculpting it like a sculptor would sculpt a lump of clay and have essentially the same sermon but with a freshness or newness to it. And that would not be as difficult a task in preparation as it would be to create an entirely new sermon. Back when I was managing a training department for an insurance company, we did a lot of magazine article writing to push various technical subjects. And we set a pattern where every article that was written, we would try to get it placed in five different publications.
So and you have to tweak it, yeah.
What we would do is we would take the basic core of the article and then we would direct it to the audience yes. of that particular magazine. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing how we could make an enormous impact with a lot less work than if we had tried to develop five individual articles yeah. for those magazines.
Yeah, very well said.
A pastor
yeah.
can do that with yes. sermons, too.
That's fabulous. Good word.
This is an interesting subject, and perhaps this is something we need to think about, and maybe we'll repeat this podcast at some point. We're so glad you joined us for our time together. You found this sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.